the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
Well, it also emerged this week that Apple had warned the government of aggressive competition from other countries trying to lure multinationals away from Ireland. In a recent meeting, they also raised concerns about infrastructure hindering growth plans and delays for work visas. Apple has been a huge player here for many years, but they weren't the first or last, as Adrian Weckler outlines in this radio essay.
When you grow up, you tend to get told that the world is the way it is. That's a very limited life. Life can be much broader once you discover one simple fact.
He came with a beard, long hair, and a message of hope.
And that is, everything around you that you call life was made up by people that were no smarter than you.
Kevin Clough, please be seated.
When Steve Jobs arrived in Cork in 1980 to scout Apple's first base outside America, there were cows in the fields around Holyhill. 44 years later, the livestock has been replaced with shiny glass buildings that dictate Apple's operations across half the world. And instead of milk and beef, those fields yield billions in corporate taxes for the Irish state.
I've been north and I've been south and I've been east and west.
In many ways, Apple's story is Ireland's story over the last half century. It's the tale of a small, struggling enterprise that teeters on financial collapse more than a couple of times, but comes through with plenty in the bank.
A Dublin can be heaven, with coffee at 11 and a stroll in Stephen's Green.
But Ireland's story is also about decades of red carpets and low tax rates to get big tech into the country. And that's a strategy that long preceded Steve Jobs. In the 1950s, soon after creating the IDA, Ireland decided to slash taxes and give lots of grants to anyone who would come in and create jobs, particularly outside Dublin. It worked. The tax pledge, along with the promise of lots of workers and a hotline to government leaders whenever a problem came up, started a conveyor belt of tech enterprises into the country. But it wasn't exactly PhDs or inventors they were looking for.
Getting to the Oyster Festival in Galway might not be as easy as it seems.
As the author John Stern notes in his Archive of Irish Tech History, the computer maker Digital chose Galway because they could simply fly in components to the nearby airport.
We go past the hotel.
And Ireland was a more business-friendly location than the initially preferred UK base of Reading. Digital became embedded in Ireland. They provided jobs, sponsorship for local festivals, and they soon became the default supplier of public sector computers. Their market share in Ireland was higher than anywhere else in the world. Where Digital started, many others followed, with 30 or 40 mostly small tech companies arriving in Ireland in the 1980s, all competing for engineering talent. Workers' rights weren't exactly a priority for most of the companies. Unions were discouraged. But because wages were higher, most employees didn't kick up. Sometimes, a few might have wished they had. In 2008, Michael Dell announced that his company was shifting 2,000 jobs from Limerick to Poland to save costs. With little union power available, the then Taoiseach Mary Coughlan flew to Texas to try to talk him out of it. After a heated meeting, Dell just walked out of the room, and none of the jobs were saved. Other big firms such as Gateway, Lotus, Motorola and Seagate either shrank their operations here or left altogether with little union effect. Even Apple circled the exit drain in the early 1990s, as Tim Cook recently admitted. But mostly, it's been one-way traffic the other way. 300,000 of us now work for foreign firms here today, with a large chunk of those being in tech outfits. And the bulk of Ireland's 24 billion euro in annual corporate taxes comes from about a dozen of those giants. Steve Jobs may not have seen himself as a multinational messiah, but 44 years after he turned up to build computers beside a field full of cows, his vision of the business world still remains gospel for Irish policymakers.
The minute that you understand that you can poke life and actually something will, you know, if you push in, something will pop out the other side, you can change it, you can mold it. That's maybe the most important thing.
Adrian Weckler there.